start out with a pre-recorded interview. The only contested seat on the upcoming election for the Astoria School Board with Jenna Rickenbach and Jan Horning. And this segment was an interview done by KMUN's own Kathleen Morgane, who actually happens to be our engineer here today. So we're going to get double duty from Kathleen. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Jim. I spoke with the two candidates earlier, and here we go. Jenna Rickenbach has joined us in the studio. She is one of two candidates for position 5 on the Astoria School Board. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to step up and take your place on the school board?
First, a little bit about myself. My name is Jenna. I am married to Jared Rickenbach, and we have 4 children who are in the Astoria School District and or will be starting this next school year. So I have a 7th grader, a 5th grader, a 2nd grader, and this next year I will have a kindergartner. I've been helping in the schools. I just like to be involved with my children's lives, as most parents do, and I help in the classrooms, and I involved with the parents' clubs. I think that spurred my interest to get involved with the school board. I have a passion for education and for children.
Now, you've been on the board about a year, is that correct?
Right.
Tell us your experience of actually being on the board as opposed to what you thought the experience would be like when you were first appointed.
I think when I was appointed, I didn't really realize how little control the school board has over certain aspects of the things that happen in the school district. And so I think at first that was a little bit frustrating to see for me. Now, as time has gone on and I've learned more about my role on the school board and the things that we are able to do and how we can affect the education in our district, it's become more exciting to me, just being able to be more involved in that process and more understanding of how it all works.
And how specifically does the board work with parents, teachers, and administrators?
We set the goals and the priorities that we see for the district, which comes a lot from hearing what the parents have to say. As a candidate, that's because I'm in the schools, I have children there, and I'm helping in the classrooms, and I'm in those situations where I get to hear what the parents, what their worries and their concerns are, and what they really like about the schools. I think as a board, we take all of that, and then also our superintendent and our administrators give feedback continually about what they're doing to improve the school district and what their concerns are. We're able to take all of that and make district goals and priorities specifically for our district. I think a lot of our job is to get out of the way of the staff and the district. They are the ones who are knowledgeable about how to specifically do what needs to be done. We have to be careful not to be the administrators. We are board members, and that's one of the neat things about being on the board is being in that unique position where you're always getting that feedback of what's working in the schools and what's happening. We get to hear about the great things that the students are doing and what the teachers are doing. And so I feel like as a board member, then I'm able to share all those good things then with the parents and let them know what's going on and those great things that are being done.
Well, a couple of new things that have come up in the last year or so are now Astoria has full-day kindergarten and there is a brand new sports complex. And can you talk about some of the growing pains of both of those endeavors?
The full-day kindergarten, I know many parents are excited to have that. There was one concern that the school district has lost children to other districts that offered full-day kindergarten. And so we hope that those children will be returning with the full-day kindergarten, trying to estimate how many children that will be and making sure we have enough classroom set up and space for them. There was some a few concerns I've heard, you know, from parents just wanting that time with their children, as much time as they can have, and worry about whether the children can handle a full day and not be too tired. I actually contacted a friend of mine who's a family therapist and asked about just developmentally if there was any harm to children starting full day kindergarten at that age. And it was that person's opinion that there wasn't any harm, that by that point, that bonding with their parents has either happened or it hasn't. You had asked about the new sports complex. Most of that happened before I came on the board. The actual turning over of the sports complex to the school happened right after I got on the board. That was, I think, a big example of community partnership. There's a lot of working together that went into that complex. It came out to be a good thing between the hospital and the city and the school district. So I think our community can be proud about working together for the benefit of children.
One more thing. The Daily Astorian stated that the school health center plan of a couple of years ago was part of this spring's election. And do you have any comment on that?
The school-based health center would be what you're referring to, has not been something that has been discussed with the school board since I've been on the school board, or come up in any discussions that I'm aware of. It was a topic of discussion 2 years ago with the school board. I think the issue behind it is the health and wellness of our students. And at the time, I know many parents were worried about the mental health aspect of our students. And so since then, what is currently happening is we have a health and wellness committee formed in the district that is looking at the specific needs of with our students and ways to meet those needs. And through that committee, we now have mental health counselors coming into the school currently and meeting with some of the students. They're also looking at areas of staff health and wellness, and this next fall, ways to promote family health and wellness and get families active. So as far as the school-based health center itself, it's not something on the table right now.
Well, do you have anything that you would like to add?
I would just like to make a comment about the Astoria School District graduation rates. I think that is something that's come up also in this election. And I want just to share a little bit of knowledge with people about that rate, to understand that the four-year graduation rate does not include those who get a modified diploma or their GED. And so that rate can look lower because of that. And understanding that at our high school, we also have an option to get a diploma, a fifth year diploma. So that rate doesn't show that. And so with all of those together, the state average goes up to above 80% in graduation rates. But to also know in our district, some of the specific things, each of those students that is at risk of not graduating, they are identified and known by the administration, and the teachers, the counselors, the administrators are giving them intense intervention. And not only that within the school, but each of those students is given a mentor from the community. In fact, I would encourage community members who have extra time to think about mentoring a student at the high school. And they are also given support through the alternative school at the Gray School campus, where they can take online classes or receive after school help there as well. So I just wanted to, I guess, put that plug in for the high school, that there's a lot being done for these students. And so at the end of that that fifth year, the actual number of students that don't end up graduating or completing in some way is actually very, very small. I think when I talked to the principal, he said he only knew of for this year. So after last year's graduation, this fifth year completion, that he only knew of two students that might not make it. So I just wanted to share that knowledge with the public so that we just have a better understanding of what's being done for these students. I hope that people will vote for me and know that I have the best interests of our children at heart. I look forward to working on the school board and continuing to make our district the best district that it can possibly be, something that we are proud of as parents and that is really educating our children well and helping them be prepared for the future.
Well, Jenna Rickenbach, candidate for position 5 on the Astoria School Board, thank you so much for talking with us here at Coast Community Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us this morning is Jan Horning. She is also running for the position 5 seat on the Astoria School Board. She ran once before and was very narrowly defeated, and she's with us this morning to talk about her second try for the position. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
Could you tell us first a little bit about yourself for our listeners?
I am a mother of two sons and a grandmother. I'm married to a forester who works at the Oregon Department of Forestry. I work for Columbia Memorial Hospital as an intermittent registration clerk. I work for two different systems as a substitute assistant in classrooms in the county. And I've always been very involved in education. I attended Clatsop Community College and immediately got involved in student government, spent 3 years there and 3 very happy years doing classes and student government at the same time. Then when I transferred to Portland State, I worked full-time as an employee and went to school full-time and enjoyed the educational environment I worked in.
Well, what are your reflections of the current board, and how do you think that your talents would come to bear? How would you participate in this board?
I am very impressed with what they've been accomplishing. I feel that I could contribute in their efforts to meet the state's goal concerning the Promise of Oregon. The Promise of Oregon involves increasing our graduation rates, and I'd like to be a part of that.
Now, a couple of things that are new this year for the school district, or new in the past couple of years, I should say, is this year the full-day kindergarten and the new sports complex. And there have been a few bumps in the road getting those things going. And do you have any reflections on some of those things?
Reflections on the full-day kindergarten, that was a legislative decision. I think there will be difficulties. Personally, I think the children are going to have some difficulties with a full day experience in school. So I think the staff will need a lot of support from the community to make this be effective. The sports complex is a great benefit to the athletic program, and I hope for children who aren't athletes that they can access it as well, either through the city parks type situation or even on personal level. Anything that would increase outdoor experiences for the children is what I'm about.
Now, as a potential board member, have you previously served on other boards?
My previous experience was extremely unusual. I was asked to apply for a position on the board while I was PTA president, and I was accepted, and we had one issue facing us, and that was a forced merger. And that's why I was enticed into joining the other people on the board at the superintendent's urging. She educated me a lot on what was happening in Salem. And
when you say forced merger, that is of two separate school districts?
Right.
And what districts were those?
I was living in Olney School District. We chose to live there because it had a K-8 school, And that's what we wanted for our children, a K-8 school environment. And when the forced merger action was taken by the Senate, I got very involved in it because I had fairly strong opinions about what type of high school experience I wanted for my sons. And so I started looking all around at the options, and when I got on the school board, we were given choice of every school district in the county that we could have merged with. And I was the only one who was most firmly in favor of Jewell. Jewell impressed me first for its financial reserves and also its commitment to sending students to college. Even if they weren't graduated yet from high school, they were willing to build dormitories for athletes. They were willing to make their school board increase by 2 members and guarantee that only residents would always have 2 seats. They impressed me, but Astoria also impressed me for its greater elective offerings and the opportunities throughout the city of Astoria.
Do you have a vision for your role on the Astoria School Board?
My interest and previous work experiences are a lot about working with families, trying to get families involved in their children's education, decreasing resentment towards schools and school staff, which is very common, and instead trying to promote collaboration between whatever family unit the child belongs to and the school staff.
This next question, the Daily Astorian stated that the previously failed attempt to bring a school-based health center to Astoria is an issue in this election. Would you care to comment on that?
Yes, that's what drew my attention 2 years ago. I fully anticipated, with no involvement, I didn't attend board meetings. My work schedule was very erratic. But I assumed that it would be an easy win situation for the superintendent. It made total sense to me. We can't afford enough school counselors, enough nurses to take care of the growing needs of a population that's been hit hard by failing economy. I used to work at the health department. Those were the people I knew and served. When it was rejected, I couldn't understand the reasoning. I couldn't understand the arguments. It occurred to me to start researching more as this election time was coming around. Began researching myself. I saw opposition from a major political party. The Republican Women of Clatsop County somehow were interested in seeing us not get a school-based health center and being just a busybody type person and somewhat political. I thought, why on earth would any woman want to limit access for things that we are struggling to provide, especially for people at poverty level, homeless children, children in abusive families, children whose parents have addiction issues? Why are we not strengthening the safety net to help them stay in school and be successful and graduate? So here I am.
And have you heard from any other members of the public that this is an issue for this election?
I have heard both people who agree with me and think it's worth pursuing and trying to open the discussion up again to see if the proposal could be brought back. And I've also taken some very harsh criticism. I'm, you know, trying to make sure people understand that I'm doing this for children I don't even know. You know, my children are grown and they don't live here. But I really care about education and young people. And so I'm hoping that the criticisms will lessen when people get to know me and see what I'm capable of doing for them.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
If I am not elected, I do hope that the existing school board members can somehow get out in the public more than they are right now and talk to the people that they represent. Not just their own social groupings, because we all have our own social groupings. And I've tended to have positions and jobs where I meet people who are in a lesser socioeconomic status than I am, who have less education than I do, whose issues are very troubling and very heavy on my heart. Sometimes those people aren't pleasant to have conversation with. Their language can be perhaps undesirable, or there may be something personal about them that may make some people uncomfortable. But to me, they're still people, and if they need help, I'd like to be able to get it to them.
And do you have any other final thoughts?
My last thought would be that I am, if chosen, I would be a proponent of keeping the ideal of church and state separation in our public schools as one of my main goals. I chose public school for my children. I could have chosen private school or religious school, but I felt public school was the right choice, and I firmly believe in public schools for America. It makes me sad when I hear people choose to homeschool because of religion. I think public schools should be available to all, promoted to all, and be embracing of all people without regard to their religious background or their beliefs.
Jan Horning, candidate for the position 5 seat on the Escadoria School Board, thank you so much for coming and talking with our listeners today here on Coast Community Radio.
Thank you.
You've just heard from Jenna Rickenbach and Jan Horning. They are the candidates for the only contested seat on the Escadoria School Board. A reminder that ballots are due May 19th, and it is probably too late to mail at this time, so get your ballots in the drop box if you have not done so already. Well, you're listening to Friday with Jim this morning here on Coast Community Radio, and I'm going to turn the remainder of the program over to Jim Wilkins.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. The reason we call this show Friday with Jim is because my name is Jim. And we just listened to a little debate, if you can call it that, between Jenna Rickenbach and Jan Horning, candidates for position 5 on the Astoria School Board. And now we're actually going live, and I'm really excited to have with us here in the studio Cindy Mudge, who is the director of the Astoria Sunday Market, which has become one of the finest markets around, from what I can tell. I'm not really an expert on markets, but I keep reading about what an extraordinary job you've done with that market. Cindy, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm wondering if you could kind of start out with a little bit of a biographical sketch of Cindy and where'd you come from and how did you end up doing what you do?
Well, I actually came originally from the Seattle area, and my first career was in theater, and eventually I also expanded and did a lot of freelance work putting festivals and conferences together, and eventually had a business in Seattle doing that for about 10 years. So running markets and festivals is really what I've done for most of my career.
How long have you been doing this one?
This one I took over in 2008 when the previous director left to move closer with their family in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember that now. Now, how many vendors do you have at the market?
By the end of the season, we'll have over 200 applications, but on any given Sunday, depending on weather, we'll have anywhere between 120 to 145 different vendors.
So you have people that apply, but then for some reason don't make the cut?
The things that you need to do to get into the market is you need to make or grow your own product. So that's the first thing. And if people don't, then I do try and find other markets that I can refer them to. After that, we develop waiting lists for some products, jewelry and soap and photography are a few products that usually have waiting lists pretty quick. Our goal is to make sure every single block of the market has a lot of variety. And so that's really what we're striving for and looking for products that you really can't find anywhere else.
That sounds like kind of a complicated task.
I know. It looks great when it's all pulled together, but yeah, there is kind of a lot of layers to get it to that point.
So for you, it's a full-time job.
Yeah, the board decided to go with the model of hiring someone full-time throughout the year. And of course, we have other programs. We have our Young Entrepreneurs Program, and those workshops usually start in January. And then we usually do some sort of winter market or festival in December. And so there's a lot of activity throughout the whole year now.
Now, I've noticed there's a Saturday market kind of thing that started up. What's the story with that?
The Saturday market, actually, they're a weekend market. I don't know who's running it, but I believe it's called the Pioneer Square Market. And actually, right now, I see it as a good thing because they list themselves as a flea market, and they actually accept all sorts of vendors who, they're filling a niche that we can't fill. You can sell collectibles there. You can sell jewelry I have to turn away. They'll at least have a place to go. People who have products they don't make can be sold there. So that is a place for people selling those essential oils or those Avon. So I'm actually kind of glad they're there because I would rather... I'm really supportive of entrepreneurship and people starting their businesses. And so I actually love having a place to send people that we can't accommodate.
So have you introduced yourself to the people that run that market? And do you coordinate very well?
Yeah, I would love to. I haven't had a chance because our spring season has been so busy with, we also manage this vendors at the cruise ships. So I haven't even had a chance to visit that particular market yet. And I'm hoping to in the next month.
That's a new one to me, the vendors at the cruise ship. Can you tell me a little bit about that program?
Sure. Astoria Sunday Market was approached many years ago before I came on board to provide some vendors to help welcome cruise ships that came in. And so we continue doing that today. And vendors go down actually to the Port of Astoria, set up their tents there, and they're up for the entire time the ship is in.
How many of them go down there?
It varies. We have room for up to, now we have room for up to about 25, and it depends on the size of the ship. The smaller ships can't support that many vendors, so we maybe get, you know, between 4 and 6 for those. For the larger vendors, we usually have kind of a whole full complement, and we'll fill up all 25 spaces.
Now, do those vendors that go down there, do they do pretty well? Do the cruise ship passengers buy stuff?
They do. We kind of jokingly refer to the cruise ship thing as, first of all, extreme vending, because even though we're in a more protected area now than we've ever been before, the wind factor and the weather, the port has its own weather.
Yeah.
It can be beautiful Shangri-La in downtown Astoria, and there'll be blowing and rain and all sorts of weird stuff happening at the port. This spring season's been great. We've been having kind of a halo of good weather just around the port. But even yesterday, we had some wind issues. The other thing is, it's like gambling. It's like they maybe do okay for a lot of ships, and then that one will come in that's like the jackpot where people are throwing money at the vendors. They go downtown and they throw money, and we just never know which one of those ships is it. But the passengers are always fun to meet. They bring a lot of positive energy into town. And so the vendors who do the cruise ships kind of really enjoy being there to kind of meet those passengers regardless of how much they're spending. So it's an interesting mix of people that come to the port. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, getting back to the Sunday market, which is, I guess, your main focus, what are some of the unique challenges that you have to deal with during the course of that market?
Because we have such a large footprint, we take up 3 blocks plus 2 parking areas, one for the food court and one we call the square, that's full of primarily craft vendors. The biggest challenge is kind of when you have that many people coming together in a public gathering, kind of keeping an eye on everything. We've been very lucky. We've had very few incidences, but every now and then you get a lost parent. The child is with someone and the parent is with someone else. And occasionally you get a dog that gets loose off of its leash. And sometimes the lost dogs have actually come from neighboring homes.
Oh.
We had one year where a little Jack Russell, in fact, the police department got to know that Jack Russell very well, kept showing up at our market. And finally, I think the owners got to were able to contain it. So you get odd little things like that happening. But primarily, the tough part is setting up in the morning, a lot of activity, setting up, getting everything ready. And then after that, once the crowds show up, it's just kind of doing a little bit of fine-tuning and managing and keeping an eye on things.
Do you occasionally have conflicts between the vendors themselves?
Anytime you get a whole bunch of people together, you're going to have occasional conflicts. What we try and do, probably one of my biggest challenges is getting that block-by-block mix. And it's not only a mix of variety of products, but making sure the personalities mesh, because when the vendors are happy, they sell better and are better able to greet the public. And so occasionally when you see conflicts, at odd times it's just a manner of kind of changing a location, and conflicts are resolved. The vendors feel more comfortable with one group versus another. It's just kind of the usual human nature type of issues that come up. But the one thing I have to say about our vendors is I'm just always amazed at how well everyone gets along and how well everyone supports each other. If someone's tent breaks or if someone has suddenly gotten ill, vendors have stepped up to the plate and helped either manage their tent or helped each other out. And in fact, when we've had someone have an injury, they've taken over their tent and made sure that they were able to continue selling their products. So I'm just really proud of all the vendors we have. They're just a good bunch of people.
Well, it sounds like what you're doing is a kind of an odd form of social engineering then, getting all these people to mix together in a friendly manner.
Yeah, and it helps kind of keeping the products compatible and complementary and so forth on each block. That helps a lot.
Now, what's going on? We have a little yipping dog outside the window. I don't know if our listeners can hear him. Yip, yip, yip.
Well, thank goodness it's not one of mine.
Martha, get me my shotgun.
Usually it's mine.
But anyway, we are visiting with Cindy Mudge. We just got a couple of minutes left, Cindy.
Sure.
You talk about the product mix. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how do you describe that for me, please?
Well, for example, I don't want a row of jewelry people together. For one, I don't want the shoppers to think it's just a jewelry show. And the other thing is, too, I want each jeweler to stand out on their own. Sometimes, though, I'll group certain food products together because they'll complement each other. For example, on one block, I put our Rosecrest cheese next to the pasta people because those things seem to go really well together. So it's just kind of finding those kind of niches and making sure there's a mix of products on each block. So no matter which end of the market you come in on, you're going to find a sampling of what's at the market in that block.
But you have the food court, so mm-hmm. So the food products then are pretty much isolated in that food court?
We have some food also in what we call the square, the big parking lot across from Hotel Elliott. But yeah, the food court is where our live entertainment is, and partly they're grouped together because that does work when you have, but we do make sure there's variety in that food court. I won't have two hamburger stands. Every single booth in there is going to have something distinctly different from another. So that's one of the ways we work that out. And that's also where most of our electrical is. And a lot of food vendors need electrical and running water.
Now, do you make the selection of your live music? And how do you go about auditioning people to play there?
Well, we don't audition. I actually get a lot of requests. I book the whole season usually in January or February, and that's when I go through. Fortunately, nowadays, there's a lot of electronic media kits that I can listen to their music, and a lot of them are familiar to our region and have done well, so of course I rebook them. And then I'm always looking for, you know, two or three new people to the area to help introduce some new music. So it's kind of a mix of familiar bands that are pretty well beloved here, as well as some new stuff.
Do you provide the sound system, or do the bands provide their sound
system?
They
bring all their stuff in. Okay. We provide electrical.
Well, we've been visiting with Cindy Mudge, the director of the Astoria Sunday Market. Cindy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Next week, we will be visiting with Steve Forrester, the editor of the Daily Astorian, and Kathleen Morgane has been kind enough to engineer this show. Thank you, Kathleen, and I'll talk to you next week.